Welcome to the FantasyGuru.com Franchise Focus Podcast. Now here's Matt Kemp, Joe Dolan, and Tom Brawley.
It's time for another edition of the Franchise Focus Podcast here at FantasyGuru.com. Matt Kemp, Joe Dolan, and Tom Brawley getting ready to talk about the New York Jets. We're in the final week of the Franchise Focus Podcast. We're moving up through the first round. We're still pushing that Vikings one back until we get more information on Adrian Peterson. We know he's been reinstated, but who knows where he's playing. So we'll be pushing that one back as far as we can. We are coming up to the last week of these, so we'll finish up with the Buccaneers at the end of this week. We're going to talk about the Jets today. All of the big moves they have made. They've certainly added a lot of talent to that team. They've lost a little bit. They got a new coaching staff there. We'll talk about the additions, the subtractions, the fantasy implications, and where they could be looking in the draft coming up at the end of April. Speaking of that, a special offer, the early bird special still going on, $24.95, but only to the end of April. That gets you $5 off the regular subscription price here at FantasyGuru.com. So you want to jump in on that right now. And when we get to these podcasts, we'd like to take your questions. You can send them in to us. Use the hashtag FranchiseFocus and tweet them to us at FantasyGuruSite, at TheMattKemp, at FG underscore Dolan, at FG underscore Brawley. If you have questions for future podcasts, maybe you've heard some and have reactions, use that hashtag and tweet them to us, and we'll be sure to answer them for you in the future. Before we get into the Jets, though, we got to talk about FanDuel.com. Don't wait another day. Sign up now to play one-day fantasy baseball at FanDuel.com. The leader in one-day fantasy baseball for real money with immediate cash payouts. Entry fee start at just $1, and you don't have to wait 6 months to win a league. You can play today, win tonight. You can pick a brand new team any day you want. There's no season-long commitment and no upfront fees. And, you know, those season-long leagues, Joe, maybe you were, you know, targeting a guy in a couple of your drafts and you didn't get him, and you're, you know, kicking yourself for not getting him. In FanDuel, the fun of it is you can play somebody at any time you want as long as they fit into your lineup.
Yeah, one thing that I've noticed in my fantasy baseball leagues is that if you're doing an auction, you think you've got this guy picked out for late that you can get for $3 that you think is going to be a huge bargain. Turns out everybody was waiting for that guy. And then it ends up bidding him up to $14, which is beyond where he should be valued. You can pass on that guy, use him in FanDuel, and really get to watch a player that you were interested in having on your season-long team that it just wasn't in the cards.
Joe Watson from New York played fantasy sports on FanDuel for less than 2 weeks and won over $30,000. Join him and over 1 million other users who have already won money. FanDuel's paying out more than $2.5 million every single day this MLB season, but you have to play to win, so sign up today. Go to FanDuel.com and click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner. Use our code GURU and sign up now. Here's the special offer for new users. For every dollar you deposit, FanDuel will match it with up to $200 that gets earned as you play. That's a bonus of up to $200. Offer is only good for the first 50 people that use our code GURU. Don't forget to use our code GURU. FanDuel.com, where every day is a new season. That's FanDuel.com. FanDuel.com. Sign up today. So we get into the Jets here, guys, and man, they have been busy this offseason. New coach, new GM, and plenty of new players, some returning home. Rex Ryan is gone, but we're seeing the returns of Darrell Revis, Antonio Cromartie, already boost that secondary there, added Marcus Gilchrist, they added Buster Skrine. That secondary has been completely revamped, guys, and really helps out this defense. And we know new head coach Todd Bowles, defensive-minded, secondary-minded, in fact, and you wonder how much coaching will have to do with those guys taking over there, but that allows them to focus a little bit more now on the offense, and we'll see what happens to Geno Smith. They make the trade for Ryan Fitzpatrick, and let's start there, because I feel like Ryan Fitzpatrick was the kind of guy they should have had last year as the number one or, you know, in the competition with Geno Smith, because it felt like they just brought in an older version of Geno Smith and Michael Vick last season, and it did not help Smith learn at all. When they went to Vick, he made the same mistakes Geno Smith did, wasn't protecting the football, ran around too much, wasn't going through his progressions, all the problems that we've had with Michael Vick his entire career, and I guess I understand why they were trying to get Geno Smith out of the line of fire, but going to Michael Vick did not help. Now, Smith did finish for the second straight year on a high note. I'm probably one of the few left that still believes he can turn into something here. I don't think, though, with Ryan Fitzpatrick coming in, that it should be a lock that you put Fitzpatrick in the lineup from day one. I think you still want to see what you have in Smith because of all the additions you made, but you guys may disagree with that.
Well, honestly, I'm not even sure we're going to be talking about either one of these guys.
I mean, this is a turning point in the draft. I mean, if Mariota gets to this point, who knows?
Is it Mariota? Are the Jets a team that's content with their quarterback situation and
doesn't appear that they're content?
Wants to move down. We discussed on the Charger podcast, I think this is a great spot for Phillip Rivers in terms of just football team fit. Now, if Rivers doesn't want to move to LA, is he going to want to move to New York?
But when you go talk about Mariota, Joe, you and I were talking about this on SiriusXM last week and talking about, do you believe that Mariota is the guy? And as you know, you've made that point. If you think you have a guy that's franchise quarterback, you take them because you don't think you have one on your roster now.
And that this is only a question that the Jets can answer. Do the scouts in that building, the coaches, believe that Marcus Mariota is a franchise quarterback? If the answer is yes, and it's a majority of them who answer yes, and he's there, the Jets have to take him. There's no question about that. If you don't have a franchise quarterback on your roster, or you're at least not certain of it, and you pass on a guy who you think is, it's as big a mistake you can possibly make.
The problem is, I think a lot of rooms aren't having that consensus opinion on either of those quarterbacks at the top of the draft.
The Jets might not feel that way.
And I think a lot of teams feel that way.
And if they don't feel that way, well then, right now you've got Geno Smith who's shown some things. Look, the guy hasn't been good in the NFL, but he has had some good games. There are some things to build on. And when you have Smith and Fitzpatrick, I think you have a half-decent two quarterbacks.
I would stick with them. I don't think I would take Mariota because I think there's enough questions about him. And you get into this question now. I would go with Smith from day one. Unless he's horrid, he doesn't get better in the offseason, I'm going with him from day one, not Ryan Fitzpatrick. If you go with Ryan Fitzpatrick, I feel like you're almost giving up on Geno Smith in year three. It's already happened.
That's a clear signal.
That if you're going with Fitzpatrick, then why is Geno Smith still on this team? Then move on from him and find somewhere else where he can, you know, restart his career. And if you're thinking that way now, if the Jets right now are thinking Fitzpatrick, then they might as well take Mariota at number seven. I don't understand why you would go that way. Not 7-6, I apologize for that. But as it stands now here, guys, look at the weapons Geno Smith now has. Because he had Decker, and Decker had a fine season last year.
He had a really good year.
Yes, he did.
Under the radar, too.
Decker, Amaro, Jeremy Curley. But you now put those guys, Decker and Curley, in better spots because you add Brandon Marshall.
And Marshall, I don't know if you consider him the one here. I still think he can play. I think you more have, right now, I think they more have like two high number twos, which is a lot better than a lot of teams have because there's only how many number one receivers in the NFL. This is as interesting as the Jets have been in a while from a weapons standpoint.
Agreed.
Maybe dating back to the early Sanchez years when they had Braylon Edwards.
It's better than that, I think.
And they had Santonio Holmes. And they had LaDainian Tomlinson out of the backfield.
Sean Green still playing at a pretty good level.
Thomas Jones. Those Jets had some underrated skill cores, even though they weren't particularly exciting. This is the best they've had since then. And it makes me think this is a really fascinating team. And why I've discussed, if Phillip Rivers is getting traded, from a team standpoint, the Jets are as good a fit as any.
Yeah, and all of a sudden they have, you know, I kind of like Jason Mara. If he was a guy that had a better quarterback situation, I feel like he would be, you know, a nice flyer tight end too. So they all of a sudden have some decent options at receiver. Now you just need that quarterback to step up and take control.
And the thing with Amaro is that you're not putting pressure on him with these guys. You added Marshall and obviously Decker. You know, you got a couple of big time, you know, one or two twos, whatever you want to call it. You have guys that are clearly in front of him that, you know, in year two, if he still has a little bit of the growing pains, it's okay. I think it's understandable here. Before we get into the running backs here, because they added Stephen Ridley, still have Chris Ivory, Chris Johnson is gone, Bilal Powell is back. They have a new offensive coordinator in Chan Gailey here, guys, and we thought he was out of the NFL, out of football.
Chan who? He's
Chan
back.
Chan Gailey, yeah, 63-year-old Chan Gailey is
63. Back. I thought you were going to say about 73. It feels like he's been in the league.
Some of the offenses look that way, but yeah. You know, he retired after a 3-year coaching stint with the Bills from 2010 to 2012. Did not have a lot of success there. Look, he's been coached since 1974. We've seen a spread offense with the Bills. Maybe doesn't fit this weapon, you know, this group all that well. I was somewhat surprised by this. Do we see some of the pistol that he ran with Tyler Thigpen, if you want to go all the way back to the Buffalo time? They want to run the football. But as Joe mentioned, you compare it back to those Rex years, they were about running the football. Now you have weapons. You have some big-time weapons. I think more so than you did then. I think Ivory and Ridley are kind of similar players here. What are we expecting from Chan Gailey with this offense? I mean, he does have some familiarity with Ryan Fitzpatrick as well, going back to Buffalo. But what are we thinking here from Chan Gailey? What kind of offense are we looking at here? Will it change? Is he going to tailor it to Geno Smith? Is he going to, as he said, the Mariota thing is still in play, but as it stands now, what kind of offense do we think we're looking at here with the Jets?
I think they're going to be a distribution offense. Get the ball to the playmakers in the short to intermediate area, and that's where Fitzpatrick has his most success. He had his best success under Gailey in Buffalo, as you had mentioned.
Because they really don't have any guys to really stretch the field in this offense.
Yeah, at least as of right now. The interesting thing to me is they don't have a pass catcher out of the backfield.
Bilal Powell, I guess, is the only one that's close to that role.
He's all right. That's why I thought the signing of Ridley was interesting, because he and Ivory, I think, are similar type players. I think Ridley's a little bit more finesse than Ivory, but neither guy has done a lot in the passing game in his career.
What I found interesting by that is, it doesn't Ivory seem like one of those guys that needs more of the touches? He gets better with more of the touches. And then you had a guy like Ridley who's probably going to just split touches with him. Now, I know he's coming off the ACL, and I think that's part of it too. And you probably didn't have to, you know, you're not paying a guy like that a lot of money. But they're similar players. So is it just the idea of let's keep both of these guys healthy?
Yeah, that's what I think it is. Both of these guys have shown the propensity to get injured at some point in their careers. So, you know, and you have to have depth behind Chris Ivory. So, I mean, it made sense. Ridley was sitting out there.
He's
but
a talented back.
It's going to hurt his Ivory's value, you know, for fantasy purposes here. But I understand why they did the move in the first place.
All right, let's talk a little NFL 10 data. And I know, you know, a lot of this stuff is going to hinge on who the quarterback is going to be. Is it someone on the roster right now? Ryan Fitzpatrick, Geno Smith? Is it somebody not on the roster like a Phillip Rivers? We don't know as it stands right now, so I know this data is going to be somewhat affected by that. But, Joe, let's start with Brandon Marshall. Now, I know this is a move that happened, before and after.
Mid-NFL team.
Right, exactly. So where is he going now? Let's also get an idea of his highest spot as well.
Okay, so Brandon Marshall, on average, is going as the 21st receiver off the board at pick 49.33, which makes him a late 4th, early 5th round pick. His highest pick was at 23, which I'm guessing is before the Jets trade.
And I would have called that.
But the lowest he's gone is 67, which means that's mid-6th round. So there really actually hasn't been a whole lot of variance in where he's going. I would tend to put him in the 5th, 6th round range as somebody I'd be willing to take a shot on. Anything higher than that,
not much upside.
There's not upside for it.
He's probably going to level off in this number two receiver.
You would have to hit a home run, and the home run would be Phillip Rivers becoming the quarterback of the New York Jets. Because, look, the Jets might think Mariota's a franchise quarterback. All well and good if they do, and he turns out to be that guy. But if they get Mariota, the fact of the matter is you're still dealing with a rookie quarterback here.
Now, I'll bring up the point that his best quarterback he's ever played with is Jay Cutler. And that's not even close. Kyle Orton, Jay Cutler, Matt Moore, Chad Henne. It's not been very good for Brandon Marshall, and he's continued to get it done. Now he's at a later stage of his career where maybe you can't overcome something like that. So
A lot of ankle issues last year.
And he was banged up, right. And had that very scary injury at the end, the punctured lung and everything like that. So I could see why. I mean, I've always been a big Brandon Marshall fan. I think he's been underrated for a good portion of his career. But as you mentioned, Tom, he's been slowed down a little bit. He's getting older. You know, it's not as always easy to overcome maybe a shaky quarterback situation. And I'll tell you what, unless it's Rivers,
Quarterback situation isn't
getting
better.
It's not going to be great no matter who it is, whether it's Mariota or Ryan Fitzpatrick or Geno Smith.
Yeah, Mariota, now I'm a Mariota believer. I have him at one on my quarterback board, but it's foolish to think that he wouldn't struggle least at some point.
No matter where he goes.
He'd be a good fit for Chan Gailey, by the way. I like the scheme fit with Mariota here. But it'd be foolish to think he wouldn't struggle on some level. So if it is Mariota, I'm not really sure if these ADPs are going to change at all.
Now, let's get into Eric Decker here, because as you mentioned, we've talked about this, kind of quietly had a pretty good year. I think all of our expectations were going to be down going from Peyton Manning to the Jets with Geno Smith and Michael Vick. But yes, I know he had a big game at the end of the season, but he was the number 27 wide receiver. In fact, tied with 26th. 74, 962, 5 touchdowns, 114 targets. Remember, he dealt with some hamstring injuries as well, issues there. 10 for 221 in the season finale.
Didn't leave
was
a game
boost.
Or two early yes. because of the hamstring. Yes. That also affects the numbers. You have to take
it. Yeah, I mean, the game against the Bears week 3, one catch, 19 yards. He tried to come back from it. So I know that's going to affect the numbers, but dip below double digits just 4 times all season. Pretty good. Solid enough.
He was a guy who... He almost had a comfort level if you were putting him into your lineup as a 3. You know what? He's going to get me 10 points, and there's a shot he's going to get me 20.
And he finished as a high 3, or low 2 in deeper leagues. So where's Decker going now? I don't think he'll change too much either.
I like this better than Marshall. Eric Decker going as wide receiver 30 off the board, early 7th round. If that's where he's going to stay constant, and I'm not sure that changes much unless they land Rivers. Because either way, you're going to have a question here. 73.6, a pretty
good.
Do
we worry
pick.
About both of these guys?
That's just, what I was going to say, yeah.
You know, eating into each other's numbers here. You know, they were...
Decker was the man last year.
Yeah, Decker was the man. And, you know, Marshall saw so many targets last year in that terrible Bears offense that, you know, can they even come close to matching the number of targets they're going to get this year?
Well, you mentioned something about terrible. The Bears had a terrible defense. The Jets will not
have
a terrible defense.
No, they will have a good defense.
They're
going to
try to ones in football.
Control the ball.
You know, whether it's no matter who the quarterback is, you would think they're not probably throwing the ball 30-plus times a game. So, yes, that cuts into a guy like Marshall, who's always been a PPR monster. I mean, Decker was that way for those couple of years in Denver.
And
a ton of targets.
But he was a pretty good PPR receiver last year for considering the offense.
Right.
74 catches in that Jet offense last year. That was pretty impressive.
I do wonder if it eats in a little bit. Now, Jason Morrow may be an upside player here, Joe, in year number 2. Dealt with Jeff Cumberland a little bit.
He's probably the best rookie tight end last year.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's fair to say that. But where is Morrow going? I was kind of interested to see if people would start to buy in on him in year number 2.
This is going to be very interesting because I think Morrow is going to be one of those guys that people are going to kind of mix and match with another tight end. You can get him real late.
Yep.
24th tight end off the board.
Yeah, that's why I kind of like him this year. I mean, you're just taking a flyer on him at the end of the draft.
Two, the guy's like a 15th, 16th round pick. And in an NFL 10, that's absolutely worth the pick, in my opinion.
Yeah, he's going to be an interesting guy. I mean, he's also a guy you could pair, if you go Graham or Gronk or Kelsey early in the draft.
Yeah,
and you take a flyer on a guy that has all upside. Yeah. So he's a guy I'm going to be matching in that, mixing and matching with a lot of my tight end selections.
And let's look at the running backs here quick. Obviously, Ridley's going to be a tough one to get a gauge on since that move has happened fairly recently. But Chris Ivory's ADP, and when you take a look at that, let's look at where he finished last season. Not a bad year for Chris Ivory. Clearly their best running back, and, Chris Johnson didn't do much. Chris Ivory was the number 33 running back last season, averaged 4.1 yards per carry, 820 yards, 198 carries, 18 catches, 123 yards on 27 targets, had a touchdown there, 9.6 fantasy points per game. Solid number 3 flex.
Still doesn't do much in the passing game. Ivory was a guy, if you put him in as a flex, you just hope he scored
That's
a touchdown.
It. Yeah.
And I'm not really confident that I'm going to be excited about him in any way whatsoever. Fantasy players are not either.
No.
41st running back off the board, 115.87. He is a 10th round pick. All right spot for him.
Where he belongs at Ridley.
Guess what? He's going to be on your bench. And the
he's
going to
be a flex guy. Yep.
The problem with Chris Ivory, and that's why I actually kind of like him in an NFL 10 a little bit more. The problem with him is just no one wanted to play him.
Yep.
You can put him in your
it's
lineup.
All touchdowns, or
and he gets
he's 11, not going to have value.
11 carries for 47 yards, no catches. Or he has one of those games where he carries the ball 15 times and busts off a 30-yard touchdown run.
Well, what if they don't address, you know, like we said earlier, they don't have a pass-catching running back. Somebody's going to have to catch the ball in this backfield. Do we expect those numbers to go up for Ivory and Ridley?
By the way, Bilal Powell, that's interesting you say this, isn't even being drafted in the top 100 running backs.
That's amazing.
So, I mean, that's a guy you could take in the 20th round of an NFL 10.
They might have to plug him into that role.
I'll say this,
though. Yeah, maybe he catches 40 passes.
With the addition of a guy like Marshall, and, you know, Zamora will take a step up, Decker in his second year with the team, you add Ridley, and we talk about Powell, but we have to get back to the fact that they have a pretty darn good defense. Is there enough touches for all these guys to be all fantasy relevant? Because this defense on paper, and it doesn't always work out this way, but this defense right now looks like this is an offense that needs to put up like 19 points a game and they'll be fine. I mean, that's what it feels
they're
like.
They're going to be good defensively.
I mean, they have to be with the guys that they've added. Now, the front seven was a strength of them, more of a strength in their secondary. They said, okay, we're going to go fix the secondary. Adding Gilchrist, adding Screen, adding Revis, adding Cromartie. Right there, you're going, okay, we should be able to lock down most receiving cores. We should be able to lock down most passing games. So if we get a little bit
more... tired of Tom Brady picking on
pretty
us.
Pretty much, yes. They did a good job against Tom Brady at the end of the season last year. But if they get a little bit more pressure on the quarterback, how are you going to put points up against this defense?
It's very difficult to do. It's going to be extremely difficult. Now, I think one of the questions you have is the safety position. Although I like Marcus Gilchrist, I don't think Calvin Pryor was great last year. The one thing you might say is Cromartie and Revis are getting up there, and we have seen corners fall off a cliff.
Sure.
Nnamdi Asamoah being the key example of that. Now, I don't by any stretch do I think Revis is anywhere close to done. It's just something you've got to mention. And that's why I think the Jets are absolutely... I think the most logical pick for them is edge rusher at number 7.
Yes.
I think that's the most logical pick. As you said, stick with Geno. Stick with... They can trade for Rivers, if that is a possibility, I would endorse that move for the New York Jets. Because I think it makes them a playoff contender instantaneously. But I think the logical place for them to go is edge rusher at 7. And there's going to be interesting ones available.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Can you imagine that defense if they get an edge rusher with that secondary?
They get a Vic Beasley there. I think Dante Fowler might go top 5. But you're right.
They still have some talent in that front 7 that remains there from the Rex era.
Their defensive line is one of the 2 or 3 best 3-4 defensive lines in football.
You mentioned line, though, and that O-line has taken steps back since the Sanchez time, and that has been a bit of a problem. Obviously, you still have Mangold there. You still have some big-time players, still have Ferguson, but it has been a bit of a concern the last couple of years.
Yeah, the O-line, Mangold and Ferguson have super slipped. They've got a couple Seahawk cast-offs in Jack Amini and James Carpenter they signed this offseason.
Right.
Willie Colon has been a solid player throughout his career, but no more than that. O-line and edge rusher are, as I look right now, are the two biggest needs for the Jets. You can really zero in on those.
And do they go running back, too? I don't know if they're completely sold on.
Could they be a spot? One of my favorite guys that I've been trying to project is Jeremy Langford of Michigan State.
Yep.
For a team that thinks, you know what, we got Ivory.
Third, fourth round?
We got Ivory and Ridley. We think we're good on the first two downs. We need a third down specialist. I think Jeremy Langford would be a good fit for the New York
Complimentary
Jets.
Player there. Mm-hmm. Nice guy there. And they have the bangers up front.
Yeah.
They have those guys already, so that could be a focus for them. You don't have to use a high pick.
Langford, you can get third, fourth round
easily. There's not a major... I mean, O-line, I think, is big. But edge rusher would be nice, but, if they want to
I think
to
they're still going to be fine, even if they don't get that edge pass rusher. This is a solid, pretty solid up to, they just need that quarterback.
Now,
that's why the Mariota selection here feels like...
What's nice for the Jets. For what they need outside of the quarterback position, and there's a chance that Mariota might not even be an option for them because he could go higher. Outside of the quarterback position, this is a good draft for the things they need.
They can be kind of flexible with, if the right player doesn't fall to them, they can kind of go best player available, what they need.
You could take 2 linemen and 2 edge rushers in this draft very easily because they've got good depth across the board.
You know, we talked about the Falcons being kind of top heavy. The Jets are kind of on the other end of that where there is a lot of talent here on the team.
And
but if they had that big time quarterback,
and that's why I could see them rolling the dice with Mariota at number 6. They feel like they have a pretty good roster up and down. Why not? You could take that risk. If you have enough people in your room that think he could be the franchise quarterback, maybe that's why you take that risk.
I talked to some Jets fans over the weekend leading up to this, and they're going, where are we going? Where are we taking? Do we take Mariota? But, we did bring up, as Joe brought up, said, how much time do Revis and Cromartie have left at a high level? Do you think Well, I don't know if we can wait that long for Mariota to develop. Is he 2 years down the road? Is he a contributor this year in this offense? Can we keep things simple for him with this great defense and go, no, we can play it simple with him now because we have a great defense, and maybe 2 years down the road we'll ramp up things up and maybe some of those older guys retire or move on or aren't playing at the high level. Then maybe he can take on more responsibility. So there is that in play, I think, as well. Going to be interesting here for the Jets, and as you said.
Yeah, they're definitely one of the turning points for this
turning
draft.
Point, yeah. You know, whether it's Mariota sticking with their guys or even trying to get Rivers.
I miss Rex because he kind of gave that team a swagger that Todd Bowles is going to be more of your quiet leader. I think Todd Bowles is an excellent coach.
Absolutely.
And knowing people in the league, I have never heard somebody say so much as a darn about the guy.
Right.
As opposed to even a more vicious four-letter curse word. But the Jets are interesting again, guys.
Just like that.
And maybe the quarterback situation collapses on itself and you have to restart next year. But Mariota, no Mariota, Rivers, no Rivers. This is actually a team that's going to make the AFC East, in my opinion, perhaps the toughest division in football.
Absolutely. Buffalo has gotten better. Miami has gotten
better. Lots of
good
defenses in that division
now. And the Patriots have taken a step back, too.
Yeah, the Dolphins, they upgraded that defense with Sue, so holy moly.
Oh, and by the way, Rex is in Buffalo now, and he wants to make that defense number one. So, yes, I think it's at least the most interesting division in football and possibly the best. So there's our look at the Jets and the Franchise Focus podcast. Another reminder about FanDuel with baseball season rolling right along. Don't wait another day. Sign up now to play one day fantasy baseball at FanDuel.com. They are the leaders in one-day fantasy baseball for real money with immediate cash payouts. Entry fees start at just $1. Stop waiting 6 months to win a league. Play today and win tonight. You can pick a brand new team any day you want. You can always mix and match. Tom, you could put in a couple lineups today. Maybe you want to wait. You don't like what the schedule looks like. Maybe it's a big travel day for teams. You take the day off of FanDuel.
Yeah, and one of my favorite things is to watch some of the late games, especially if Clayton Kershaw or Felix Hernandez is pitching late at night. So, you know, it gives you an extra reason to watch those late games. Get a FanDuel lineup with those guys in them.
Joe Watson from New York played fantasy sports on FanDuel for less than 2 weeks and won over $30,000. Join him and the over 1 million other users who have already won money. FanDuel's paying out more than $2.5 million every single day this MLB season. So go to FanDuel.com and click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner and use our code GURU to sign up now. Special offer for new users. Listen up. For every dollar you deposit, FanDuel will match it with up to $200 that gets earned as you play. That's a bonus of up to $200. Offers only good for the first 50 people that use our code GURU. Don't forget to use our code GURU. FanDuel.com, where every day is a new season. That's FanDuel.com. FanDuel.com. Sign up today. Speaking of signing up today, make sure you get in on our early bird special at fantasyguru.com. Runs out at the end of April, $24.95, $5 off the regular price. And we have plenty of content going up. Besides these podcasts, you can check out the Pre-Rookie Report podcast with John Hansen and Greg Coselli. They did a pre-free agents or post-free agency podcast as well. Joe and Tom with the pre-draft rookie report. That's up. We'll have the post-draft rookie report up pretty quickly after the draft's over. Take a look back on everything. We'll have the post-draft stock watch. So once we know where everybody's playing and landing, have a pretty good idea, start to get a feel for our early projections. Yes, we're already thinking that way. Our player profiles, we're underway with those as well. Check out the offensive identity articles for the new coaches and new spots from Mike Horn, giving you a nice look with some graphs and charts of what the new coaches are bringing to the table with their new team. So plenty of content going up here in the NFL offseason. And of course, we'll be doing our strength of schedule analysis coming up with the schedule coming out. Once the draft's over, we know where everybody is. We're already gearing up for the season here in April. So for Joe Dolan and Tom Brawley, I'm Matt Camp. Thanks for listening to another edition of the Franchise Focus podcast right here at FantasyGuru.com.